The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
I am what it says I am, I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. I receive the word of God with faith. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 15. Genesis 15. Today I want to bring to you a message. That's part five of our Immersed in the Blessing series. And the title of today's message is this. You ready for the title? Seeing is Believing. And I know we're familiar with something that kind of sounds a little different than that. We'll say, well, we walk by faith and not by sight. And you know, there's even a little Christmas movie. I think the Santa Claus, remember the little Judy, the little elf girl. She said, you know, you got it backwards. It's not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. Well, today I want to challenge that a little bit. I want to challenge that seeing what you see in your heart is actually what you believe. But you know what? You can control what you see inside yourself. You can control the image that you see. And I'll prove it to you. I'm going to ask you a question. Y'all ready? How many doors do you have in your house? Most people can't just off the top of their head tell you. But almost everybody can eventually get to the number. You know how? They'll say, okay, I'll walk in the house. And as I walk in, I keep going, there's the bathroom door, and then there's a door to this bedroom, there's a door to this bedroom. And if I went down the hallway and down the stairs, there'd be to the basement door. But then if I go back up, I'll see the bathroom, and then there's a door there, door there, door there. And what did you do? You mentally, in your mind, you went through and you saw your house. And now you can give me. You have an image on the inside of you. Reality is that you have an image already of everything in your life. And that image is controlling what you do. It's controlling what you believe. And what I want to share with you is I want to show you a principle from the Word of God here in Genesis chapter 15 about how God was walking Abraham through the process of believing and receiving. And as he walks him through the process of believing and receiving, he has him do something that on some ways almost seems nonsensical, but there's a reason for it. So I want you, if you would, to follow along with me. Let's read Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. Seeing is believing. It's going to say that God's going to speak to Abraham, verse 15, and God takes him outside. Abraham was in his tent. It was at nighttime. And he was out in the desert, out in the wilderness there. And God says to him, come outside. And as he did, listen to what God told Abraham to do. He said, now look toward the heavens. Count the stars, if you're able to count them. I think about this often, and it reminds me of when I've asked a stupid question. One day I was in Tyler, Texas. I graduated high school, went to Youth of the Mission for 1 year, and was in the ranch there, the place in Tyler, Texas. And I remember my first night there in Texas. I looked up and I asked one of the dumbest questions you could ever ask. I looked up and I said, is there more stars in Texas than there are in Kentucky? Because the sky was full of stars. Now, what it was is we were way far away from city lights and all this. We've got light pollution, so it hinders how many stars we can see. But when you get into a place that's super dark and then look up at the sky on a clear night, you're going to see tens of thousands of stars. When God brought Abraham and took him out of the tent and he looked up and he saw those stars, God said, I want you to look at them. Count these stars if you're able. And then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now, what had God just done? God had just given him an image of what the promise is going to look like when it comes into his life. Now, when Abraham begins to think, well, God said he's going to give me a child, not only does he have a promise, but now he has an image of what it's going to look like, a picture on the inside. I saw those stars. They were innumerable. God put an image to where now he's seeing something, not with these earthly eyes, but he's seeing something with the eyes of faith. He's got an image on the inside of him. Today, I want to talk to you about how that seeing is believing, that you can have a faith-filled imagination that will connect you to the promise of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, today, I thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you help us today to change the image that we have on the inside of us. And as the image on the inside of us begins to change, our circumstances on the outside are going to follow suit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. A sermon that has been probably the most impactful sermon in my entire life was preached by a man by the name of Kenneth Hagin. Years ago, Kenneth Hagin preached a message called, it was entitled, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Now, that title in of itself just kind of makes people mad. You can't write your own ticket with God. God's sovereign. There's no way you can do anything like that. But if you heard the message, you'd see what his point was about this. He had had a vision, and this vision was of Jesus, and Jesus appeared to him and said, if anybody, anywhere, will take four steps, they will always receive from me what they believed God for. How many would like to know those four steps? Come Wednesday night, and I'll tell you. No, I'm just kidding. The first one is, he said, you got to say it. That means that you got to talk. You got to talk your faith. You got to speak your faith. And then he went through and he preached on how all the stories in the Bible, from creation itself, the first thing that happened is people were talking their miracle. The second thing he said, that Jesus told him, is that you've got to do it. And he talked about how that corresponding action must be in line with what you're believing. You got to act on what you believe for. Faith without works is what? Dead. It doesn't work. It doesn't produce. Now I'm going to skip the third one and I'm going to go to the fourth one. And the fourth one, he said, you got to tell it. And how that even God himself, after he did something, he would talk about what just happened. And all the people would go over and they would rehearse. And constantly they would rehearse all the miracles of the past because it does something about your future. Amen? But there was that third one. That third one was, you got to receive it. Now, he never explained it. I listened to this message. I was thinking about it yesterday. You can find it where it's all in one sermon, and then he preached it one other time, and he preached it in four different sermons, 4 hours. And I've listened between that 4-hour series and then that time he did it in one sermon. I've probably listened to this message over 1,000 times, or nearly 1,000 times. I mean, I can tell you every every cough, every inflection of his voice in the message. But he never explained, what does it mean, receive it? And then Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, believe that you receive and then you'll have it. You got to believe you got it before you get it. Well, exactly. I don't know. I just struggled with, what do you exactly mean you got to believe you receive it? What does that look like? What is that process? So I would think about it, and I would always get stuck on the believe you receive. Well, later on, I read a book, just picked the book up, read it, not really thinking it's going to connect to this, and it was called The Fourth Dimension by Dr. Cho. Dr. Cho built the largest Christian church ever in the history of Christianity. Built a church, over 1 million people. And he wrote this book called The Fourth Dimension. Now, in this book, he goes and describes how he built this church, and he built it by faith. He built it in South Korea. Of all places on the planet, you would think the largest Christian church would be, South Korea would probably not be the place that I would think it would happen, but yet that's where it goes. And he talks about how he built this church by faith, but he starts it by telling the story of when he was a poor pastor in South Korea, no money, didn't have anything, couldn't do anything. And he needed, listen to this, this is what he needed. He needed a chair, he needed a desk, and he needed a bicycle. And he didn't have the money for it. And to get a chair, and he didn't just want any chair. He wanted a chair, I think it had to have wheels on it, and it was a steel chair, and it spun around. And that would have been way more than any amount of money he was making at that time that he could ever have. And then he wanted a desk. It wasn't any desk. I think it was made of mahogany wood. It was a certain color and had certain things on it. Details. Everybody say details. It had details. It had details about it. And then he wanted a bike. He wanted a bike made in America and had to have a certain type of tire and all this stuff. But all this was way more than he could afford. But he would sit and he would ask God for these. And then he would start picturing them. He would look at where the desk is going to be and start walking around it and how the chair was going to be. And he would see himself in the chair rolling around, he said, like a big shot. And it was just kind of funny how he would put it. But he said, I would see himself. He would see himself ride the bike. And he started to get a picture on the inside of him that got so big that when he would talk about it, he didn't say, well, I'm believing that I'm going to get a chair or going to get a desk or a bike. He said, I have a chair. I have a bike. I have a desk. And he would talk about it like it's already his, because in his mind's eye, what he was seeing, he started to see. It became real to him. Well, the story goes, he ends up by a series of a couple quick little things. He got everything, but he didn't just get a chair. He got the exact chair he was seeing. He didn't just get a desk, he got the exact desk he was seeing. He didn't just get a bike, he got the exact bike he had already seen himself with. And I started thinking, hey, wait a minute. I think that's answering the question of how you receive it. So then I go and I listen to a message by Andrew Womack. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Andrew Womack. He preaches a message called Take the Limits Off of God. Again, that message just frosts people. Just gets them mad. What do you mean you can't limit God? Well, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms that says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. God said that. God said, you've limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit? They limited them by their faith, or by actually their lack of faith. It actually tied the hands of God. Well, in this message, Brother Womack begins to talk about how that God taught him to use his faith-filled imagination. Everybody say imagination. It's that thing that you had that you can find out the number of doors in your house. Because in your imagination, you begin to see it. Well, see, what you don't know is you can control your imagination. All right, I want everybody in this room to do this with me. I want you, everyone, to picture an elephant. Everybody got your elephant? Picture an elephant. What color is your elephant? Great. All right, pink elephant. Pink elephant. Y'all got it? Pink elephant. Everybody got pink elephant? Everybody got your pink elephant? Now, pink elephant with a bow tie on. Everybody got your bow tie on it, your pink elephant? Pink elephant, bow tie, and now it's carrying around in its trunk a red balloon. All right? How many got it? You work at it, you can get that picture. How did you get that picture? Because I told you. I told you what to picture. I put that words, and you turned my words into a picture in your imagination. When God brought Abraham outside the tent, he did something. He put an image on the inside of him. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Paul is going to refer to this exact moment. And Paul is going to refer to this moment and said that it's at this moment that his faith ended up going to the level that it produced his descendants. And you'll see this with me. Follow with me. Romans chapter 4. Are y'all still with me? Y'all still with me? Because I want you to see this, and then I'll show with you how it will help you. Romans 4:16. It says, "For this reason, it is by faith." And that's what we're talking about. Learning to live by faith. Learning to walk by faith. Learning to be immersed in the blessing. Abraham is going to eventually walk in the blessing. The blessing on his life was going to require him to have children, but he has no children. But he's going to have to believe God for children. So follow along. "So that it is by faith, in order that it may be accordance with grace, so that the promises God give us will be guaranteed to all descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham." That's you and me. "Who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'A father of many nations I have made you.'" Now, when that was said, "A father of many nations I have made you," he was already an old man and he didn't have any children. He wasn't a father of anything. But then it goes on to say, "In the presence of whom he believed, even God." Now, what did he know about God? What did Abraham believe about God? Two things. One, God gives life to the dead. And two, God calls into being that which does not exist. Those were the only two things that Abraham knew about God. God knows how to raise up dead people. And when God talks about something, he'll talk about something that doesn't exist as though it did. That's how God operates. So then he goes on to say, "In hope, against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations." Now, just so that I know, sometimes reading, we kind of lose track. What are we talking about? We're talking about how Abraham was able to use his faith to go from being fatherless to the father of many nations. How was Abraham able to take the promise of God and make it a reality? He believed, in verse 18, "In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which has been spoken." Look at this phrase, "So shall your descendants be." You see, that phrase at the end of this verse was the phrase that God said in Romans 15:5, "So shall your descendants be." Paul was referring them all the way back to when God said, "Come out of your tent and look at the stars of the sky. Count them if you can." He said, "For this is how your descendants will be." And what Paul said was this: it was at that moment when he saw the stars of the sky that faith arose inside of Abraham. And now that faith was going to cause Abraham, who didn't have any children, to become the father of many nations. Today, I want to say this to you right now. When you get the promises of God inside of you to where they become an image inside of you, you're going to see yourself walking in God's promises. Can I hear an amen? Let me give you four things real quickly about this, about learning to see. And what's the point of the message? I want you to learn to see yourself with God's promises. I want you to learn to get an image on the inside of you that you are walking in what God has said for you to walk in. I want you to use your Holy Ghost, faith-filled imagination in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? Point number one, if you're taking notes, number one, our faith-filled imagination activates the blessing because it's focused on His Word. I'm not asking you to imagine a bunch of vain imaginations. You see, the Bible talks about the word imagination, but in a lot of ways, most of the time, it's used in the negative. We would have vain imaginations. God doesn't like those. Let me tell you something else God doesn't like. God doesn't like something called an evil foreboding. Everybody say evil foreboding. What is that? Well, that's that thing that you do on Sunday when you're dreading the conversation with your boss on Monday. That's that thing you do when you're on your way to the doctor's office to get the results of a test, and you're already thinking about what's going to happen and what those results are going to look like. It's that negativity thing that rises up on the inside of us, and before the event even happens, we're already upset about it. That's called an evil foreboding. What have you done? You've used your imagination to extrapolate on facts, and you've tried to look into the future, and you've allowed your imagination to say, well, this is how the conversation's going to go. This is what the results are going to look like. This is what this is going to happen. This is the bad thing that's going to happen or the bad thing that's not going to happen. And you've already gone forward in your imagination, and you've allowed it to affect you, and you're already upset, and you ain't even there. Nothing's even happened yet, and you're already mad or sad or scared. Did you hear me, what I'm saying? That's called evil foreboding. And when God ever talks about evil foreboding, He never talks about it in a good way. You see, what God wants us to be able to do is to walk in that situation with an image on the inside of us, but not an image of defeat, but an image of success. Not an image where we're going to be in trouble, but an image of victory. Can I hear an amen? You see, when God says things like, thanks be unto God, I love this scripture, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. That means that the things that God has called me to do, I'm not going to walk in defeat in those things. I'm going to walk in what? Triumph. So when I walk in there, I'm not going to see myself failing. I'm going to see myself doing what? Succeeding. I'm going to see myself winning. I'm going to see myself doing what God's called me to do. Where I have to change the image on the inside of me, not based on my own vain imagination and my own vain thoughts, but I take the Word of God. Listen to me. I take the Word of God and I start seeing that happen in my life. I start seeing myself healed. Why? Because I know the Word of God says I can be healed. I know the Word of God says it's God's will for me to be healed. So you know what I don't do? I don't sit around and picture myself in a wheelchair, getting sick, being in a convalescent home, not being able to take care of myself, everything breaking down in my body. I don't see myself doing that. You know what I see myself do? I see myself being healed. I see myself being whole. I see myself being able to run until I want to stop. Can I hear an amen? I can run marathons until I want to stop. Can I hear an amen? Why? Because the image on the inside of me is bigger than anything on the outside of me. And because of that, it changes what else happens. The image on the inside of you is what connects you to what God has for you. That means that when God's called you to do something, you need to start seeing yourself do it. If God's called you to preach, you need to start seeing yourself preaching. And I'm not talking about getting up there and stuttering, pitting around like you don't know what you're doing. I'm talking about you see yourself getting up there and you're preaching like you know what you're doing and the people are listening and things are working. Can I hear an amen? You need to start seeing yourself when you walk on that job saying, you know what? I'm going to get that promotion. I see myself walk. Now, I'm not talking about some stupid thing that you dreamed up on your own. I'm talking about something something that God put on the inside of you. Can I hear an amen? But friend, I'm going to tell you, when you get the word of God on the inside of you, you can begin to allow, yeah, I see myself blessed. I see things working for me. I see God prospering me. I see God touching my family. I see my family healed, whole, and well. I see us coming out from a place of divorce, and we're coming into a place of wholeness in Jesus' name. I see my children serving God, going after the Lord. Come on, you see, that's the image you get on the inside of yourself. Amen? You start seeing an image that has been created by the Word of God. Do you remember our pink elephant with a bow tie and a red balloon? You got that image because I put words in your mind. When you begin to take God's word and realize, what is it doing? The word of God is to create an image on the inside of you. Now, I just thought of something. Remember in James, it talks about, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. But then it brings up a very interesting comparison. It said a person who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like someone that looked in a mirror and forgot what they look like. Every time I read the Bible and I don't do what the Bible says, it's because I didn't let it create an image on the inside of me. I'm not going to forget what God said I'm supposed to look like. Can I hear an amen? God said I'm supposed to look like I'm forgiven, so I'm going to act like I'm forgiven. God said I'm supposed to look like I'm healed, so I'm going to know I'm healed. God said, I wish I was in a Pentecostal church that understood what I'm saying right now. God said I'm supposed to be blessed, therefore I'm going to see myself blessed. God said he is Yahweh Nissi, the Lord who is my victory, so guess what? I don't see myself defeating and going under and things not working for me. Why? Because I'm not going to forget that image. The word of God is to create an image like when you see in a mirror. Except unlike a natural mirror where you just see what you see is what you get. No, no, no. The word of God says, here's the image. Now you're going to start looking like it. You're going to start looking like that image. That's why you need to focus in on the word, because it's creating an image on the inside of you. Can I hear an amen? Number two, faith-filled imagination activated the blessing because it was focused on him, and the him is God. It's about God. Can I hear an amen? It's about learning to do what God has called you to do. You see, there is a such thing as a vanity. Vanity, having a wrong image based out on yourself. Can I hear an amen? That's vanity. But walking around and understanding, I'm going to be the victorious, happy, healed, blessed, prosperous person, that's not vanity, because I know all that stuff's coming from God. Amen? Where it's not going to be, see, and that's where we get it. We don't understand the difference between pride and vanity and what's good, what's not. We start seeing someone step out in faith, we're saying, oh, they're arrogant. No, it's only arrogant if you think it's coming from you. It's only arrogant if you think it's about you. Can I hear an amen? But see, we can stand up and declare, you know what? I am blessed. I am prosperous. I am strong. God is working for me. I'm going to win this week. But we know, hey, wait a minute. That ain't because of me. That's because Jesus went to the cross, rose from the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father, and raised us up with him today. I'm not going under because God has made me a victor. Can I hear an amen? When you start rising up and know that in every situation, I'm talking about the stuff God's called you to do. When you start doing the stuff God's called you to do, God said you'll become more than an overcomer. That means that I'm not in trouble. You're not going to see me sitting around crying, oh, I'm in trouble, I'm going under, I'm defeated. No, not going to act like that. Why? Because God said I am more than an overcomer. That means that I'm not just going to barely win. We're not just going to barely squeak out a victory. We're not just going to win. We are going to triumph. We are going to way overcome. We are going to way do what God's called us to do. And that becomes the image on the inside of you. Amen? And for many of us, this is a big deal. I was raised up in a very negative home. Very negative home. Everything we did was negative. Everything was just negative. And my mom, listen, I'm not bashing her. Anytime I talk, she ended up getting saved, and God turned it around the last 2 years of her life. But she just wasn't saved. She was unwell. She was in her heart. She was hurt. Had a horrible life. My mom had a horrible life on earth. But as a result of that, she was so negative. And she taught me negativity. She didn't mean to. But everything happened. It would always be negative, always talking down. And what happened is that created in me, I was one of the most negative children you'd ever seen in your life. I could not see a positive thing about anything. I could always find the dark thing about it. You remember the phrase, behind every dark cloud's a silver lining? Remember that phrase? I literally turned it around. I said, behind every silver cloud's a dark lining. All I could see was what was wrong. And that produced in me a negativity. Well, as I started to grow in God, I realized that that's not faith. And that doesn't please God to be that way. So I had to start with me. I couldn't see myself doing much. I couldn't read. I couldn't read out loud. Couldn't read in front of people. My second grade teacher, I'll never forget, when we was having a little reading group, you know, circle, and you know, all the other kids, they could read just good. I couldn't read. My teacher said, John, you are the worst reader I have ever heard. Said that to me in second grade. I remember sitting there saying, I'll never speak in public. You'll never see me read in public. I'm not going to talk in public. I had made a decision, you can't, that's what I said, you can't read, had that, now I get saved. First thing God tells me to do, I've called you to preach. I'm like, are you kidding me? Did you not hear what my second grade teacher said? But I had to start seeing something different about me. Can I hear an amen? I had to start seeing things work differently. I began to look at my family. And again, I'm not bashing. I'm just telling you this is just the facts of what happened. That my brothers and sisters, I'm one of six kids. I'm number five. My four previous older brothers and sisters, they all ran away. All of them were addicts. My mom divorced with a guy beating her every day. I'm seeing broken home. I mean, that's just how I grew up. That's how I lived. And the devil would say, you're never going to have a good family. You're never going to have good children. None of that's ever going to happen to you. That happens to other people. But that's not the kind of stuff that happens to you. But I'm here to tell you right now, coming up in March, my wife and I celebrate 29 years of wedded bliss. Come on, somebody. Or at least most of those years, wedded bliss. We have five children that are serving the Lord, healthy, whole, in college, graduating from college. Some just got, my daughter Rebecca just got her master's degree. All of them serving the Lord, all of them doing right. That was pie in the sky when I came to the Lord. No way could that happen. But see, I started to get an image on the inside of me. I started seeing myself with a marriage that was going to work. Full of love, going to stay together. Can I hear an amen? I started to see my children serving God. I was 14, 15, 16 years old in a prayer grotto at Miner's Lane, seeing my children serve the Lord and walking with God and prophesying over them that they're going to live for the Lord. Can I hear an amen? I'm here to tell you right now that that image that God began to put on, it wasn't anything that I saw. It wasn't that anything. I didn't even know anybody that had that. But God put an image on the inside. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know this stuff. I didn't know to do all this stuff that I'm telling you now. I just was doing it. All I was doing was just, I'm just looking at what God's word saying. Well, wow, I'd like to have that, God. God, I think I could see that, God. God, I think that could work for me, God. God, I want that. Can I hear an amen? And all of a sudden, what was happening? The word was beginning to create something on the inside of me because it was from him. I knew it wasn't from me. I knew it wasn't from my family. I knew I couldn't look to anything else. Can I hear an amen? Number three, your faith-filled imagination activates the blessing because it's not focused on other things. It's not focused on other things. Do you know what caused God to draw Abraham out of the tent that night? Look at Genesis 15, verses 2 through 4. He started asking questions. He's like, well, okay, you're going to give me a baby, but it's going to come through this. It's going to come through this person. Or what about this person here? Started coming up with questions. Everybody say questions. Questions, alternative ideas. Starts focusing on the how and the when. God doesn't want you focusing on the how and the when. God just wants you to focus on the what and the who. What does God want in my life? You see, when I start thinking I've got to come up with the idea, I've got to come up with this thing, oh man, I'll start coming up with all kinds of things. Abraham did have an issue. Remember, he created an Ishmael trying to help God. We're still dealing with Abraham's Ishmael today. We're still dealing with that mistake. We're still dealing with that issue where he messed up and tried to, and God said, no, that was your deal. Let me say something about creating an Ishmael. What does that mean? That means you create the thing. You try to make God's thing happen for your life. If you birth an Ishmael, you're going to have to change its diapers. You have to deal with it. You start doing your own stuff, then you're going to have to take care of it. Did you hear me? But when you start focusing on, look, I'm not going to focus on the how. I don't always know the how. And I'm not going to focus on the when because I don't always know what the when. But what I am going to focus on is the what. I know what God's going to do. Can I hear an amen? I know that God's going to bless me. I know God's going to help me. I know that God's going to do it. I'm not going to sit around and try to help God out by focusing on the how. I'm just going to thank God. I thank you for the what, and you're going to take care of the how. Can I hear an amen? And then finally, number four, you can stand to your feet all over the house. Our faith-filled imagination activates the blessing because it connects us to Jesus. You see, the Bible says about Jesus that when he went to the cross, it said that he looked and he saw beyond the cross. He said it was for the joy that was set before him. You see, Jesus wasn't looking at the cross. He was looking at what was going on the other side. He saw himself being resurrected. He saw himself being raised, seated at the right hand of the Father. He saw all y'all being saved. And he said it was the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Let me say something to you. There's often a period of time between the promise and the performance. You'll have a promise from God, and then there'll be a period of time, and then there's a performance. Sometimes that period of time is real short. Sometimes that period of time is real long. So what do you do in that time? You get an image the whole time. Some people estimate that between the beginning of the promise that Abraham walked in and when he actually saw a kid, that it was somewhere around 25 years. That's a long time. That's a long time. But there came a point he got an image of the stars. I'm the father of many nations. Look at those stars. That's what my kids are going to be. Every night he walked out, look at those stars. Look at what that looks like. That's my children. God's going to do that for me. I don't know how and I don't know when, but I know the what. I know what he's going to do. He's going to begin to do that. And that's all you got to focus on. I said, that's all you got to focus on. Because I have begun to see it and God did it in my life. Can I hear an amen? I want to ask you to join me and join me up front. Everybody step out of your seat. Come up to the altar. I want to tell you a story. And I've told this one before, but I like it, so I'm going to tell it again. Years ago, when I was Aaron and I pastored in Clinton, Kentucky. Clinton, Kentucky had about 1,000 people in the entire city, and there were 3,000 people in the county. Small. Now, when we left that church was running around 300. But when we got there, it was running around 150. Running around 150 people. And I'll never forget, we got there, and we got there in May of that year, and it had a shell of a building. They wanted to build a family life center. It was going to be an 18,000 square foot family life center. But they had started it about 5 years prior to us being there. And they started and stopped. And all there was this empty shell of a building. It was actually quite embarrassing for the church because the whole community saw that this church had started this building, but then wasn't able to complete it. And so I got there and I looked at it. And I remember walking around it. It was just concrete floors and no walls. And I'm a new pastor there, and I'm looking. And then I go and I go pray. In fact, I pray with Aaron's dad. And he and I are praying. We're in his kitchen, and we start praying and that sort of thing. Not really praying about anything specific, just praying. But all of a sudden, the Lord gives me a vision. And I see that entire building completed. I see all the walls. I see a huge commercial kitchen. I see a gymnasium with this nice floor, and it was also set up so that if we wanted to, we could have a stage, and it had mics and all the speakers set up. I see it having a hallway wrapped around the gymnasium so that it could go, and it had like 12 or 15 classrooms. And I started seeing that, and then I saw people in it. I saw this vision. I saw people in the building. And then I could hear people. I could hear children making noises and different things like that. So I go to the meeting, to the board meeting on June. I'm new pastor there. And I start the board meeting by saying, gentlemen, it was only men in that time. Gentlemen, we are going to finish this Family Life Center by October. And they all looked at me. By October. It's June. You're going to finish it by October. So not only are we going to finish it by October, but we're going to finish it debt-free. They said for us to do all the things that are in the architectural design, it's going to cost us $800,000. I said, we are going to do it, and we are going to do it by October, and we are going to do it debt-free. And they all just looked at me. They emptied their pockets, and we had about $300 on the table. So I started walking around the building. I took toilet paper, and I put it on the concrete, because they did have the concrete down. I put it on the concrete of where a wall would be, where's the bathroom's going to be, where the offices are going to be, where the gymnasium was going to be. This is where the stove is. And I started seeing it. People were like, why you got toilet paper all over that floor? And I wouldn't walk over the wall, because that's a wall there. I walk, here's the door. I'm going to walk around the door. You're crazy. No, I had an image. I had an image on the inside of me. Now, I probably wouldn't be telling a story if it didn't have a happy ending, right? So what do you think happened? By October, our home was a homecoming month. That church had every year they had a homecoming service. They had a homecoming service. And we dedicated that building. It was completely finished, and it was debt-free with over $200,000 left in the bank in an agricultural community, and God had done it. And I remember getting there, and people were like, man, are you excited? This is awesome. Look, it happened. I wasn't. You know why? I'd already been there. I'd been there for months. I'd been walking around seeing that for months. Now, what had happened? God put an image on the inside of me. And I began to walk that out. Can I hear an amen? What am I telling you to do? I'm going to tell you to start seeing yourself with the promise of God. Adam, God's given you some things He's spoken, put in your heart. There's some stuff in your heart that seems like right now a pie in the sky. There's no way. In the natural, there's no way. But you're going to begin to see yourself with it. You're going to see yourself with it so much that you're going to think it's already in your hand, that you're already walking in it, because God said, my hand's on you. Some of you, God's already spoken to you some things right now. You're like, there's no way. There's no way that could happen in my family. Oh, you must feel lucky to be able to have that. Listen, luck had nothing to do with it. I said, luck had nothing to do with it. You start seeing yourself with it. Let me tell you something. God's got great promises in the Word, but you got to start seeing those things as yours. They're yours now. I believe I receive it. Some of y'all need to walk out your parking lot right now and start seeing yourself with that car. Now, I know people don't like me talking that way, and if you don't like it, then just I'm talking to somebody else, not you. But some of y'all need to start walking out your driveway. What car you want to be driving in this year? What color is that car? Do you see it? You see that car? Yeah, that's mine. I got my car. I know what car I'm going to be driving by the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? You get that inside of you. What promotion are you looking for? Oh, it may or may not be with that current company you're with, but what promotion are you looking for? What thing has God put on the inside? That book that you're supposed to be writing, what does that book cover look like? What does it look like when you got stacks of those books that you're signing and all of a sudden they're going out and people are taking and they're being blessed by it? What does that look like? You got to turn this stuff into an image. Otherwise, why did God do that to Abraham? Why did he do it to Abraham? Why would God give people images like a wheel within the wheel? Think about all the visions. What were they? They were images of what this stuff can look like in your life. God works with this. Today, I want you to lift your hands up before the Lord. If you'll get a hold of this, it'll change your life. It'll change your life if you'll get a hold of it. God will turn it around for you in the name of the Lord. You begin to see yourself with that thing that God said. What has God said to you? What does it look like when you're walking in that in your marriage? What does it look like when you're walking in that, when you're living in that, when you're driving that thing? What does it look like when you stop losing and things start going your way and things start turning around for you? Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus, where the enemy has painted an image inside of you. And other people have described this, who you are, and it's not been who God said you were going to be. God said, I'm going to change the image on the inside of you. God said, I'm going to give you a new way of thinking about yourself. You're going to start seeing yourself differently. You're going to start seeing what I can do through your life differently. Because I am the Lord your God. I am the one who called you. I have ordained you, and you are mine. You belong to me, saith the Lord. So begin to see yourself. Begin to see yourself having what I have promised for you to have. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. God, that we are not going to be forgetful people that forget what we're supposed to look like. I'm not going to forget that I'm supposed to be blessed. I'm not going to forget that I'm supposed to look like I'm healed. I'm not going to forget that I'm supposed to look like I'm full of joy and God's prospering me and I've got victory. I'm going to look like somebody winning. I'm going to look like some... Listen, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for it right now. Now I'm going to tell you this. I meet a lot of people who love the Lord. But when I look at the countenance of their face, they look as defeated as they can possibly be. Now I don't beat people up that way because they've been through hardship. And I'm deeply moved by the troubles of people. I really am. Deeply moved by it. And maybe you have a reason to be downcast. Maybe you feel like you've been through some hard things and but I'm going to tell you right now, when you start changing your image and you start saying, you know what, this may be what I'm going through right now, but it ain't going to be where I'm going to stay. You can smile in the midst of all that because you're like, you know what, this is only my now, but it ain't my forever. No, this is just temporary. What I'm walking through right now, it's just temporary. I might have shed a tear before, but get ready. Joy's coming back in my life because I know God's about to turn this thing around in Jesus' name. Can I hear an amen? I want you to start right now. I want you to do something. Put an image of one thing that you're believing God for, that God wants you to believe for. Right now, I want you to get inside of you. Some of you, it's to be married. Now, how am I going to get married? I don't know, but I know God can do it. You know, in that book, Fourth Dimension, I mentioned that book. And I'm not getting a commission on that book so you can buy it. I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just saying. He talked about this woman. She wanted a husband. And he said, what kind of husband? She said, what do you mean, what kind of husband? He said, what kind of husband? She said, well, I'd like him to be musical. And I'd like him to be 6'2". That's pretty specific right there. And she was out in some third world country just serving the Lord. He said, I want you to thank God for a 6'2" musical husband. Amen? And he'd say, what does he look like? You see, she'd start seeing herself with him. Well, lo and behold, she's on a mission trip out in Timbuktu somewhere. And lo and behold, a 6'2" musical man shows up. And she's like, well, there he is. She doesn't do anything. He walks up to her. He says, can I take you out on a little date? She acted coy. Well, I don't know. Let me get back with you. And they end up getting married. How many of you believe in God for that? What does he look like? What does she look like? No, I'm serious. What do you see yourself doing? I want you to just begin to worship the Lord. I have something else that's on my heart. I want to pray over someone. And if this is you, I'm not going to ask you to come up, but I'm going to ask you to. Some of you have looked at the success of others. And I want to be very careful because I would not say this, but I don't even like saying what I'm about to say, but I believe someone needs to hear this. You've looked at the success of others, and it's caused hurt. It's hurt you. And the reason it's hurt you is because sometimes it's the things you've been praying for. You wanted for your life. And that can sometimes be hard to deal with. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's not run out of miracles. And what God did for them, he can do for you. Amen. You can start rejoicing at the good you see other people walking in, because you're getting ready to walk in the good too. I said, you're getting ready to walk in the good too, in Jesus' name. And so I want you to begin to see yourself with that. Father, I pray over my brothers and sisters right now. And I thank you that you've got good for them. And today, God, we're grateful for all the good that we see you do in other people's life. And God, we're going to start seeing ourselves with it. God, we're going to start seeing ourselves walk in that blessing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And everybody said, did you get anything out of this today? Can you give the Lord a great big hand? I want to let you go. I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to keep you here. But I'm going to ask you to do something. Write down what you see. Change the image if you need to. You can do it. It's not, in some ways it's easy. But sometimes, like, I can change the image on the inside of me, myself. But sometimes it wants to keep reverting back to the old one. And what takes a long time is for me to get it and for it to stick. I can create it immediately. But sometimes it wants to go back to default, which is not what God wants. If you stay at it and begin to, I want you to take time every day and start seeing yourself walk in the promise that God has for you. Get that image and don't move from it. And don't be neglectful of it. Keep it focused and you're going to see some amazing changes in your life. Amen. You need to see yourself healed this year. Some of you need to picture what your summer is going to look like. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to have a beach body, and by all means, I don't want to see no bikini pics, okay? But I'm just saying, you need to start seeing what you're going to be doing this summer that you couldn't do last summer. Some of you've got stuff you love to do in this summer, and you've not been able to do it. I don't know why this is on my heart. I have no idea. I don't know that I've ever said anything quite like this before. What do you see yourself doing this summer that last summer you couldn't do? Get that in your head. Get that in your head. A vacation? Hey, that's good. That's good. I've done that for vacations. And God brought the money. I mean, just boom, there it is. Everything I needed. But I saw me and my family on it. God will do that for you if you trust him. Amen. Let's go out with a shout of victory. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Jesus. 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 God bless you. Thank you for coming. Shake some hands and hug some necks before you go.
Become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a kingdom building partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.